Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Tony Gray of TCCA. Tony, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Always a pleasure, Tony.
So, Tony, I understand that TCCA, with all the work you guys have done, starting with Tetra, is now 25 years old. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And it's been an eventful 25 years, I have to say, starting from our roots, of course, in the ETSI Tetra standard. And we were formed pretty much when the standard was well on its way to completion, but still to support and help the finalization of the standardization. And then, more than anything, to get out in the world promoting and advocating Tetra as a standardized solution for critical communications. And as part of that, of course, we developed and operated, and still to this day operate, the global Tetra interoperability test and certification program. And that, more than anything else, I think has been one of the main planks of Tetra's success globally.
Well, and there's been an awful lot of it. So remind me again, Tetra, I know it's used a lot in Europe for public safety. What are some of the other places where people can see Tetra systems in action today?
Yeah, I mean, it's widely deployed around the world, and not just in public safety these days by any means. Transportation, things like buses, trains, metros, airports is another huge market for Tetra. Utilities use it pretty extensively, and it's also involved in other industrial and site-based applications, like, for example, extraction, mining, the oil and gas industry, and so on. So it has a pretty broad market around the world. The U.S. market for Tetra, of course, came more latterly, and it's not deployed much at all in public safety, where P25 is the standard for the U.S., but again, transportation applications, utilities, oil and gas, those kinds of applications are really taking off now in the U.S. as well.
Very true, very true. Well, I know TCCA was built on Tetra, and and people know TCCA for all the work you all have done in Tetra. What a lot of people may not realize is the role that TCCA played in helping the development of standards for mission critical and public safety LTE. I know I've talked with Andy Thiessen over at NIST, and he is, and Emil Olberg as well, when he was there, they talked about how, frankly, in the early days, this is even before FirstNet was created, that they were having a lot of problems. They had these public safety needs. They knew they would like to use LTE and get into that LTE ecosystem, but they said, boy, we're going to have a whole lot of trouble. They just found that they weren't getting anywhere because it was just a U.S. idea, until you guys came along and said, "You know what? We're looking at it too." Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, Andy and his colleagues from then the U.S. Department of Commerce were there in 3GPP trying to get their voices heard, and came to us with the request for some support, which we were happy to give in the form of a letter. And lo and behold, that seemed to help to swing 3GPP into taking the public safety and wider critical communications markets seriously. We, as TCCA, then subsequently applied and became assigned as the critical communications market representation partner in 3GPP. So we are supposed to be the go-to focus for what does the critical communications market want from 3GPP. And then that collaboration between Andy's team and ourselves and a few other key stakeholders eventually led to the formation of an entire new working group with the name of SA6, which nobody outside of 3GPP will understand or care about. But it was unique in the fact that we then had a forum in which to do the standardization of mission critical and public safety requirements in this global 3GPP standards body.
Wow. Well, and that's where we've got the development of things like mission critical push to talk, mission critical data, mission critical video, and a lot of other standards are still being worked on in terms of priority preemption and things like that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And we now have, after, in fact, believe it or not, 7 years of those efforts in the standards in 3GPP, the likes of MCPTT, Mission Critical Push to Talk, MC Data, MC Video, now available as standards and actually being implemented as initial applications. And so the next step then was the, for example, ETSI plug tests program for mission critical features, which TCCA has been pleased to support and facilitate. And that, more than anything, I guess, starts to provide proof of interoperability. But we're now engaged in working on, as it were, the final phase before serious market implementation, which is test and certification, conformance testing and certification that gives the market some belief that they're buying truly standardized and conformant equipment that will interoperate and do what it's supposed to do.
Right. Well, I mean, that's so critical in terms of, you know, being able to, for people to buy things and know, hey, this really is meeting the standard and it's not just, you know, something that's on a marketing sheet or something like that. So yeah. What kind of steps are you all doing to create this compliance environment?
Well, the key missing element for everyone up to now has been test equipment for doing this testing and certification. So the test equipment manufacturers in the LTE and 5G space are far more focused, of course, on the huge commercial markets. And there's no one currently who can sell you a piece of test equipment to test mission critical features, particularly in devices, handsets, and so on. So we've been fortunate, together with other partners in the consortium called MCS Testing, to get a grant from NIST to develop exactly this test equipment. And that will run as a program for 2 years. It started back in December of last year. So the expectation is that in a couple of years' time, we'll have that test equipment capability. And then the question becomes, okay, what's the test and certification regime that actually employs this equipment? So we're also working with an organization called GCF, the Global Certification Forum, which does exactly that test and certification for all of the rest of the device apart from the mission critical elements And over the next 6 months, we have a task force working with GCF to exactly put those mission critical parts into the GCF test and certification program. So between those two elements of test equipment that actually does the testing and a program of test and certification that provides the rubber stamped piece of paper, as it were, at the end of the day, we expect that finally there will be a basis on which to manufacturers can get their equipment certified and marketable.
Well, and that's certainly critical. So, you know, given what you guys do in the TETRA realm and what you're doing in the public, the LTE space as well, I'm just curious, what are you hearing from the markets and the people that you talk to, particularly in Europe, about, you know, hey, am I going to make wholesale switches? Am I going to have hybrid networks with interworking? Do I stay with the TETRA stuff? I guess, what kind of, are you starting to see any trends emerge yet?
Yes, I think the general trend is that, of course, everyone who's currently employing TETRA is very happy with it, but absolutely looks to the future of wanting all the data and video services that will further enhance their users' capabilities and lives. So, you know, that there's kind of a continuum of approaches. On the one hand, you've got projects like the UK ESN program, which is looking to ultimately replace the whole of the current airwave TETRA network with a commercially provided network service and a full scope of LTE products. There are other people talking about interim hybrid approaches where they retain the TETRA but have a kind of overlay of broadband data capability. And indeed, some manufacturers are now coming to market with dual mode devices that support both TETRA and LTE so that they could be used on both networks. So I don't think we're seeing anyone that's saying, great, I can now throw all this TETRA out and just wholesale replace with LTE right now. But we are seeing a sort of probably something like 10-year program where gradually LTE will become the basis of everyone's critical communications networks.
Okay. Well, and I know there are a lot of developments out there to try to help ease that transition that are being talked about. Are you actually seeing them being implemented?
Yes, we are. And again, you know, I can talk particularly from a European perspective, but also, of course, in the wider world. For example, Australia is looking at what it wants to do with mission-critical broadband. So the means of delivery of network services is really the critical item because, of course, an LTE network, if it's going to be dedicated to the public safety or other critical communications application, is an extremely expensive option. So just about everything we're seeing up to now is in some way, shape or form employing commercial mobile network operator services, of course, hardened and enhanced to be adequate for critical use. There are proposals and applications for a kind of small scale fill-in private LTE, and I think between the two, that there's a kind of reasonable mix of practicality and cost.
Okay. Well, it's a fascinating time and one that's a little bit different than 25 years ago, wasn't it, when TCCA started?
Indeed, it's just frustrating for some of us to be old enough that we actually remember the starting point.
Well, we're glad you've been in at this whole time. And Tony, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure, Donnie. Thank you very much.